The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hello and welcome into ESPN FC. I'm Kay Murray. I'm joined in the studio by Stevie Nicol and Chaka Hislop. We also have with us along for the ride Julian Laron and Stuart Robson as well as we look ahead to the return of the Champions League. Match day two is coming up and all eyes will be on that game between PSG and Manchester City. This is how Group A is shaping up so far. PSG perfect in Ligue 1, but could only draw in Bruges on match day one of the Champions League. Jules, how big of a game is this for them?
It's huge, Kay, of course, especially after the points dropped in Belgium in match day one. And also because it's City, because of the rivalry between the two owners, of course, because of what happened in the semi-final last season, where when City came to the Parc des Princes and won, despite really struggling in the first half in that game, and then being even more in control in the second leg back in Manchester. So for Mauricio Pochettino, this is more than just a game. And he will have Messi back for that, maybe even Marco Verratti, who they're both in the squad. We're not sure who's going to be the goalkeeper and how PSG will play, but it certainly feels like a very special night that is brewing in Paris right now.
Well, let's talk of everything that's going on the pitch. Of course, there's a bit of drama, and we've been talking about any drama that comes up with PSG. You may have seen the images of Mbappe caught on camera, a little bit upset with Neymar, and he called him what means a beggar, basically. Mauricio Pochettino has said there's no problem here. He said in football, this kind of thing happens between competitors. It made a lot of noise outside the group, but internally, it was nothing. The two spoke to each other. I also discussed with them, and you saw that in training, they were laughing. Is this a big deal or not, Stevie?
If it's exactly what he says, then no. You know, a similar thing happened with Mane and Salah a couple of seasons ago, when Mane took the hump because Salah didn't pass to him. I mean, it hasn't caused any problems at Liverpool. And I would imagine this actually sounds a very similar situation. He just wanted a pass and he's turned to a teammate and a camera's caught him. I don't think it's any more than that. But if it is, then there's trouble because players don't forget things like that. This has happened before. I've played in a team when it happened and it never goes away. So I'm sure it's the first one. But if it's the second one, it will cause problems.
That's the thing. This kind of thing has the potential to spiral out of control. It seems not so long ago we were talking about Kylian Mbappe and Olivier Giroud in the lead up to the Euros, and how that affected or would affect the France national team. And this for me is similar. This kind of thing happens often, but it really comes down to the two players, how it's interpreted, their relationship before, and see where it goes from here on in. So ultimately, time will tell, but quite clearly, going into a game of this magnitude with everything around it, it's not the kind of headlines anybody wanted to be discussing.
Jules, is a lot being made of this?
Yeah, but I think that's right. It's the way it happened that Mbappe's on the bench talking to Trezeguet. There's the camera because there's always a camera on him anyway. And that he says that at that time when Neymar has just given the ball to Draxler to score the second goal for PSG. And then he goes, basically, and when it's me, he never passes me the ball. They love each other, those two. And we've talked a lot on the show of the time that they spend together on the field, off the field. And even to a certain extent, the fact that Kylian is taking a lot from Neymar's personality and way of playing, etc., etc. So they still love each other now. It's just I think that the frustration from Mbappe at the end of that game where he'd been subbed off, hadn't scored, he missed a few chances, and maybe that was just the frustration, nothing else, because we did see them at training today and they were very happy and they were in the same team and laughing with each other and they actually passed the ball to each other too. So all is good, but you could tell the frustration from Mbappe on the bench, and I think that scene was very particular.
What's your take on it, Robbo?
If I was playing with Neymar, I'd have been frustrated with him a long time ago. I mean, you know, he's a player that wants to do most things himself. He's a great player. We know that. He can go past people, but he looks after himself. And if it's a pass or a shot, he's always going to take a shot. But I don't think it's going to be any problems between the two players. As Julian said, they get on really well with each other. They've got great friends. They respect each other. And over the course of the next few weeks, I'm sure they get on very well and pass to each other and score goals as well.
And I'm sure the cameras will be waiting for any moment where there's any disagreement between them. Jules, Messi said to be in the squad. Do you think we'll see him start?
I think so. He trained on Sunday, trained again today, Monday. He will train, he will do the sort of the teamwork on the day of the game too. I expect him to start. I think he could be very important. He's got a very good record against Pep Guardiola's team since they sort of left each other at Barcelona. He scored 6 goals in 4, 2 games against Bayern Munich, 2 games against Man City as well, although it's been a long time since they faced each other. So it'd be very interesting. But yeah, I would think that he will start up front, especially because Angel Di Maria is suspended for this game. So I think you need Messi, in a way, you need Messi to beat the press from City, or try to beat the press from City. And even if he hasn't scored yet, having Messi in your team to be able to keep hope of the ball, to create something a bit magical, especially if your team is a bit struggling or on the back foot, I think it's a luxury that you cannot not take with you on the pitch. So even if he can only play an hour or 70 minutes, you take him and you start him.
And even with the prospect of Messi there, the bookies are actually going for City as the favourites here. But we asked all of you, and everyone's going for a City win, except for Xhaka, who's going for a draw. Now, City have only given up 1 goal in 6 Premier League games, Xhaka, but you're expecting them to ship 2 against PSG.
Because of who PSG have and their potential. I think this is a big game, wrought with tension for both. More so for PSG, given their start to the Champions League campaign. At home, I expect them to be at their best, but I just don't think they're strong enough to beat City. I think they have more than enough to score 2 goals against a team that hasn't really kept many clean sheets so far this season. So I go for the high-scoring draw.
Robbo, what's made you go for City in this one?
When Pochettino first went to Spurs, he had a distinct style of play. They knew exactly what they were trying to do. Since he's been at PSG, I'm not sure he's got his ideas across yet. I'm not sure what he thinks the best tactics are. And I can just see a slight weakness with Pochettino at the moment. Man City came off that excellent performance against Chelsea. I think they're just about going to have enough to beat PSG over the 90 minutes.
Meanwhile, the other team in Manchester, there's a lot of talk there about a penalty. And there's been a lot of aftermath as well, with Bruno Fernandes coming out on Instagram after that penalty, saying, "Nobody's more frustrated and disappointed than me for missing. Today I once again took the responsibility given to me almost since I joined United, and I will take it again without any fear or dread whenever called upon. I'm a player who leaves everything on the pitch with great desire and commitment. I'll come back stronger." Even Manchester United have put up the apology and all the players supporting him. Stevie, if there was Instagram available in your day, would you be coming out and apologising for a penalty miss?
I would personally, I wouldn't, but I don't think it's a wrong thing to do. I think fans, Man United fans, will like it. They'll think that he's talking to them. So I don't have a problem with it. I just wouldn't do it myself. I just can't imagine me doing it. But again, Man United fans, I think, will like it. I thought it was interesting, though, when he said, "when I'm called upon," because that would suggest that he won't be taking the next one.
Robbo, what do you think of this situation?
Well, I think he's got a good record at taking penalties. I think when he's got a slightly better record than Ronaldo in terms of percentage scored. So I think he was the right man to take the penalty. He's been on the penalties. They'd made that decision before the game. And I think he's right to apologise afterwards. It gets the fans back on side. And as Stevie said, I don't think I'd have done it. I don't think Stevie would have done it. Xhaka might. He was a creep when he was to the fans. But, you know, I think that it's the right thing for Fernandes to do.
Oh, Manchester United, though.
I think credit has to go to Martinez. He really pulled him off.
Yeah, Shaka, and I know I saw you guys talking about this as well, and you know, it's previous of doing this, and it did work, but it is an interesting situation. Just the penalty taking, isn't it?
It really is. I thought he played it wonderfully well, obviously, when once you see the outcome, but I thought so much about it was interesting. The Manchester United players, I think it was Fred and was it Dallard who were around the penalty spot. Cristiano Ronaldo just sitting just a little bit far back enough, not really supporting Bruno Fernandes, but not really walking away from him. And I thought Emiliano Martinez just kind of read everybody's body language and got it absolutely right. And you could tell from the outcome.
Jules, are you actually surprised to hear the likes of Robbo and Stevie saying that they don't think it's too bad, Bruno Fernandes apologising for this penalty situation?
But the way I see it, I see a completely different message. Well, I mean, of course he says sorry and he apologises, but I think for me that it's a really long post on Instagram. There were other messages that he wanted to put through and to come through to the fans, to the club, maybe to his teammates. I think the responsibility one, and Stevie touched upon it a little bit, saying like, I took my responsibility and I will do it again if needed or if called upon or whatever. I think he mentioned also the leadership, and since he has arrived at the club 18 months ago, and we know how successful he's been and how important he's been for this team. So it was almost like, okay, I'm sorry I missed, but hey, let's not forget everything I've done for this club since I arrived. Let's not forget all of that. It's not because he has arrived that you should forget all of that, and it's not because I missed today that you should forget all everything that I did. So I thought the way he put it out, there was more messages than just, oh, I missed and I'm sorry.
Okay, well, all eyes will be on Manchester United in the Champions League this week. This is Group F. They are bottom of it right now, so they have a big, big game on Wednesday. They're hosting Villarreal, who, as we all know, they lost to in the Europa League final last season. They lost to Young Boys on match day one. And here are the predictions from the panel here. Everyone has Manchester United winning, except again. Once again, Shaka, who picked a draw. But Robbo, I'm going to start with you. How confident are you that Solskjaer can get his revenge on Emery in this game?
It's going to be difficult because I saw Villarreal at the weekend against Real Madrid, and for 45 minutes they totally outplayed them. Real Madrid couldn't get near the ball. They kept it. Capoue in midfield dictated the play because he was the spare player in there. They had a lot of danger through Danjuma. But the problem they've got, they can't score goals, Villarreal. And the reason probably Shaka's going to tell me it should be 0-0 is because they've already had three or four 0-0s in La Liga so far this season. Second half, they defended really well, but I just think Manchester United on the night will have just a bit too much for them, and in the second half they'll come to the fore. Villarreal are a good side, though.
Okay, well, Mark Ogden has actually been writing in his latest article about Manchester United and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Make sure you go and check that out over on ESPN.com, where ESPN FC is.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
A look at the top half of the Premier League standings, and this is after Monday's game between Palace and Brighton finished 1-1. Brighton there in sixth, but did have the chance to go top of the table had they won this one. But look at Arsenal getting into the top half in 10th right now, and that's because fortunes have turned for them. And if you actually look at Arsenal and Tottenham, they're going in different directions. Arsenal lost their first three games of the season and have gone on to win the next three, while Spurs won their first three and have now gone on to lose their next three. Robbo, is there a light at the end of the tunnel here for Arsenal?
They may well be, but let's be serious. Arsenal have played poorly up until this point. It was a massive game for both clubs. The Arsenal fans got behind the team. The young players came to the fore. Tottenham didn't press the ball particularly well. Arsenal played around the pressure, and then the two young players, Saka and Smith Rowe, ran with the ball really well. There was some good movement from Aubameyang. They then defended well all around the field. It was a different Arsenal to what we've seen in recent weeks, but we've said it many times. Arsenal won the cup a couple of seasons ago under Arteta, and we all said they were going to be in the top four the next season, and they didn't make it. So let's not get carried away. Excellent performance. Great the way they played around the pressure. They were fitter, more intense was into their game, and they fully deserved the victory. But this is just a one-off at the moment. They've got to do it consistently, week in, week out.
Jules, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was the best performance in a very long time, helped massively by how poor and pathetic Spurs were, really, especially in that first half. I think there was more space in midfield at the Emirates than there is in the Sahara Desert, because Dele Alli, Tanguy Ndombele and Pierre-Emile Højbjerg, I'm not really sure what they did in the first 45 minutes, but they were certainly not on the pitch. So, of course, then Odegaard, Smith Rowe, Saka, Tierney, if you can run into an empty space, then you will do so and you will be dangerous. So well done to Arteta. I'm not really sure how you pick up from there if you Spurs and Nuno now, but certainly for Arteta, the dynamic now is very positive. The momentum is for them. And they've got the next few fixtures not easy, because you will have Brighton and Aston Villa and West Ham, but certainly you would think that they're in a very good place, at least now, to approach those games in a very positive way.
Now, looking at Spurs right now, Robbo, do you think they should have just taken that money for Kane?
Well, he's not playing particularly well. They don't seem to be a settled side. Nuno has gone in there and he's tried to bring back the likes of Dele Alli. And Jules is absolutely right. In that central midfield area, I saw a couple of the recovery runs from Højbjerg. They were a disgrace. He was actually chugging back as Saka was running beyond him. And that's the first goal came from that. The likewise with Dele Alli. Ndombele, I think, could be a good player. Didn't know what he was meant to be doing in central midfield. Harry Kane's not playing at his best. He seems to be obviously affected by what was going on in the summer. He probably doesn't want to be at Spurs. He wants to be at Man City. It's a major, major problem for Spurs at the moment.
Spurs right now, Stevie, what are your thoughts?
Oh, a complete shambles. Complete shambles. And they didn't fool anybody. You showed them starting with three wins. Those three wins, how they got them, at the time I said, was beyond me. You know, they basically defended for their lives, and the players that did it, I was surprised that they could do it. But no consistency. Can't do it when it matters most. So I don't see any positives at all at Spurs right now. None. The back's a shambles. The middle of the park, as Robbo pointed out, they can't stop anybody getting at the back line, and they're not supplying anybody in the front three. And then you've got Harry Kane, who's having a hard time, and it doesn't help when he's played out of position. Harry Kane's a centre-forward. He's a goal-scoring centre-forward. Get the ball in the box and he'll find a way of getting on the end of it. But right now, it seems like he's going to be the one making the pass for him to get on the end of it, because that seems to be the only chance they've got. So they're in a right mess.
Shaka's nodding emphatically.
Well, I totally agree. And to your previous question, yes. Given what we've seen over recent weeks, Spurs should have taken the money, but not August 29th, August 30th, you know, kind of trying to get every last penny out of it. Do it earlier in the summer and strengthen. Eric Dier is not a centre-back. Not a centre-back for a team that has aspirations of finishing top four. Let's just get that straight. Dele Alli, though you seem to want Dele Alli to do well, almost more than Dele Alli seems to want to do well himself. And he always kind of deceives you in that way. We Hugo Lloris, at his peak, was one of the best goalkeepers in the game, certainly of his generation. But he's not that goalkeeper anymore. You need to, again, you need to refresh. If you look at Arsenal's first two goals, both of those goals at a point 10 yards outside the Spurs box, it's 4v4, twice. The third time, Harry Kane has to drop deep to get on the ball because he can't get it otherwise. He gives it away, and lo and behold, it is Harry Kane, your centre-forward, who's making the challenge in his own box. You say, great, a centre forward, he has to get back because he gave the ball away. But in his defence, if he doesn't make that challenge, Saka's playing in Aubameyang, who's standing far post all by himself. Where is Spurs' defence? And this could have been identified a long time ago and addressed in this summer. You do everything you can to keep Harry Kane, deny Manchester City, however you want to interpret it, and in the end, you just end up shooting your own ambitions in the foot.
Robbo, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, well, the problem with Nuno is that when he was at Wolves, he played with a back three. Everybody knew what shape he was going to play. All the players knew exactly what the tactics were. And I think he's gone in at Spurs. He's not sure whether he wants to stick with his usual formation or the players have dictated to him, well, no, we don't like playing with a back three. We want to play with a back four. That's what we've always done under previous managers. And at the moment, he's caught between the devil and the deep blue sea. He's not sure what formation to play, how to press the ball, how to drop off. It's a real worry for him at the moment.
All right. As I did mention, there is more talk about this on the Gab and Jules podcast. Make sure you do download that.
Where's he getting all this
gear? Yeah, I'll just go and watch it. He's got little contacts, hasn't he, Jules?
You'd know it's freebies.
Yeah.
Oh, why? Well, you wouldn't buy that.
He needs to share it around, doesn't he? Anyway, download that wherever you get your podcasts. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Now, one of the more intriguing Champions League groups is Group B, Liverpool, Atleti, Porto and Milan. Now, Milan at bottom right now, but they'll be hosting a Champions League game for the first time since 2014 when they do take on Atleti on Tuesday night. Atleti are coming off their first loss of the season. They lost to Alaves on Saturday and Atleti were hoping that bringing back Antoine Griezmann would bring all the good times back as well. But when he's been on the pitch, Jules, they haven't scored. It's not going well for this remarriage once again, is it?
No, not yet. That's true, Kay. I think it's 375 minutes now that he's been on the pitch. They haven't scored. I mean, he didn't even have a shot on target. There was nothing against Alaves. There was not much before. You could see that Simone is trying to find the right formula, the right system, because he's played Griezmann and Suarez and Correa together. I don't think all three of them can play well together. It was only Suarez and Griezmann together at the weekend. That didn't really work out either. And he will still be looking. But the problem is, the games are coming really fast and thinking fast, and this one is a big one already for Atleti. And when you know the struggles that Atleti have had in Europe over the last few seasons, I mean, last season they could not even beat Lokomotiv Moscow in the Champions League group stages. So it was always going to be difficult, especially in this group. And going away to Milan, a Milan team that is really playing well, in really good form now, it looks like a very, very tricky journey and travel for Atleti. And this is not the right time for them to go and take on this AC Milan team.
And yet still, Atleti are favourites with the odds makers in this one. Xhaka and Jules are both going for a Milan win, though. Robbo and Stevie are going for a draw. Why the draw, Robbo?
I think Milan, yeah, Jules is absolutely right. They're playing well at the moment. But I still think they have a problem up front. Rebic has been playing up front for them in the last couple of games. And while he's a very good player, he's much better when he's playing out wide. I'm not sure. They might dominate possession. They might dominate the play. I'm not sure they've got enough to break down Atleti more than the once. And that's why I've gone for a one-all draw. I think they'll dominate the game. They'll be the better side, but won't eventually win it.
All right, well, we will be looking back at that game as well as the rest of the Champions League action on a special edition of ESPN FC tomorrow. Make sure to join us for that as we look back on everything that happens as round two gets underway. Let's take a look at La Liga's standings. Barcelona just 5 points behind leaders Real Madrid, and Barca have a game in hand. Things getting pretty interesting there, as is their Champions League group. They will be back in action in Group E, taking on Benfica. We know how it started for them, but things looking a bit brighter for Barca at late, with players returning and Ansu Fati also back from injury. Is there a new sense of optimism there, Robbo?
Absolutely. I thought they played very well at the weekend against what has to be said was a Levante side that were almost as bad as Spurs were. In fact, even worse than Spurs. But Ansu Fati coming back last 10 minutes, scored a very good goal near the end. I thought they played some great football in midfield. Gavi was exceptional. Busquets still running the game. He still had a magnificent performance. Depay playing well through the inside left position. You still wonder whether Luke de Jong can play well week in, week out. He scored a very good... The second goal was a very good finish from him as he got through and just poked it beyond the goalkeeper. But overall, I thought Barcelona completely dominated the game. There was more confidence about them. The crowd got behind them as well. Much, much better. But it has to be said, Levante were hopeless.
Jules, will you be pouring any hate on Barcelona, or can you give them some praise after this win?
No, that was great. I agree with Robbo. That was good. It's good to see Ansu Fati. It's good to see the kids from La Masia. And I think in total, 9 played overall, not just the starters, but through the whole game. I thought Nico Gonzalez was fantastic, the son of Fran, the former Deportivo La Coruña's legend. So all good. This is great. But I agree with Robbo. This is Levante. Benfica will be tougher. They've started their season in Portugal in a really, really good way. They're really strong. You would expect Barcelona, certainly if they play at their best, to beat them. But it's a tougher test than Levante. So it'd be very interesting. But it was good to see Ansu Fati coming back. And as Robbo said, to see the kids playing in that kind of way is very good, very, very good for the future.
Yeah, and there's a very tough test coming up for Barcelona in La Liga after that game as well, because they'll be taking on Atleti. There you can see it on Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Eastern. In the last 3 Liga encounters, Barcelona have not been able to come away with a win in this clash, but these are all the games that you will be able to see on ESPN+. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Loads of bonus content over there. For instance, things like, and I've made it back today just for this. I said, Dan, please let me in. Shaka's power rankings is returning for a new season. Shaka, are you as excited as we all are?
You have to give the people what they want, Kay. You've got to give the people what they want.
Go on then.
Here we go. AC Milan at a 10. Sevilla 9. Sevilla, though third, could go to a point with Real Madrid at top of the table. PSG down at 8. Don't make your face up, Jules. I can sense the anger already. Liverpool, City, and then the top 5. Real Madrid. Ajax, who I think they've dropped 2 points in Eredivisie beginning big first game of the season. Benfica, who are 100% so far this season. 1 draw away from home in the Champions League. Napoli, 100%. Bayern Munich, who dropped 2 points opening day of the season, but have been perfect since. 8 wins on the spin. Wraps up the power rankings. There can be no arguing with this week's power rankings. Week number 1, I'm off to a flyer. Let's wrap this up.
I don't believe it. Jules, what do you think of this week's power rankings? I mean, PSG, should they be higher?
No.
I'm not sure we needed power rankings to come back, but can you explain to me something, Shaka? How can Real Sociedad are above Sevilla in La Liga table, and yet they're not in your top 10 when Sevilla are behind them in La Liga? And don't give me the European thing, because Real Sociedad did really well in Europe as well, and they're clearly better than Sevilla. They're ahead of them in the table.
I can't wait to hear this.
Sevilla have a game in hand. Once Sevilla wins the game in hand, and they will, I'll guarantee right now, they moved to a point behind Real Madrid. That's why.
I love that you can just
guarantee Sevilla winning. I guarantee it right now. Yeah. Put your mortgage on it. Put Lionel Messi on it, Julian.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I am impressed by the way.
Do you want me to also throw?
Yes.
No?
Yes. Any questions? If you're watching it, by the way, drew with Sevilla and are also unbeaten in the league? Because they if Sevilla are there, they deserve to be there too, Salzburg. Salzburg, they drew away at Sevilla in the Champions League. They're unbeaten, haven't dropped a point in their league.
They're 11th. How about that? Just stay out of it, Jules.
Robbo, do you like Shaka's power rankings now that they've returned?
Robbo don't like anything.
Do you like the way they're shaping up?
I hate to say that I looked at all the leagues. I looked for a deficiency with the way that he'd put it together. And I have to say, I agree with Shaka 100%. It's the best power rankings I think I've ever seen. I cannot criticise that at all. I'm not sure what Jules is talking about. Absolute load of rubbish.
There's two things that I'm actually impressed with.
Don't you worry, Shaka. You've got it absolutely right.
I'm going to retire now, Robbo.
Shaka, number one. I agree with Robbo and you. I think he's brilliant. And number two, even the most impressive thing about the whole thing is normally when Shaka's taken to task, he comes up with the wind was blowing or the lights went out. This time he was ready. I'm sorry, Jules, you did you?
It's all in the algorithm.
Very impressed.
It's all in the algorithm.
I mean, you've had a few weeks to prepare, to be fair, Shaka.
Yeah, it's all in the algorithm. I just needed all the data to come in.
Yeah, been revising for weeks, So maybe some more questions about this on today's Extra Time. The whole panel will be with us. Make sure that you always catch Extra Time over on our YouTube page. If you subscribe, you'll never miss it for all the fun and to get your questions answered. And the Championship is also a league we carry here on ESPN. And if you would like to see Middlesbrough, probably not do so well, as they never do when they're televised.
Do you know anybody that wants to?
I mean, even I don't want to sometimes these days. Sheffield United, who they're taking on. And Fulham will be facing Swansea City, too. Those games across Tuesday and Wednesday. Absolutely no need for any of the hate for Middlesbrough here. Extra Time's coming up next. Join us for Extra Time.
I've enjoyed talking Middlesbrough.
The latest edition of the ESPN FC.
Where is Middlesbrough? Keep
Can't even believe you. Whatever. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. We're just looking at maybe having an excursion to my hometown of Middlesbrough, and I know that Shaka and Stevie have signed up straight away. They're here with us. So too, Robbo and Jules. They are looking to come to Middlesbrough as well.
Are they?
I think so. Maybe that's why they're not appearing. Here they are. Desperate to come to Middlesbrough. Both look at Jules, enthusiastic. Robbo, don't be like that. Need for that.
Well, he's been there. He knows where he's
going. Robbo's speaking for all of us.
It was voted the most boring city in the country.
So he's like, oh yes, that would be a lovely trip.
not the most boring, Robbo. It was not very nice what they said about my hometown, but it wasn't the most boring. I mean, there's a lot of things going on there.
I thought it took over from Grantham. I thought Grantham was the most boring, and then Middlesbrough took it over.
If we go to Middlesbrough, what's the big attraction?
What's the go-to?
The Palmo, for a start. We have our own dish that's like native to Middlesbrough.
Describe it.
It is an escallop of pork or chicken. You have like bechamel sauce on top, two different cheeses on top, and then you can have like garlic on top of that. You can even top it with like pepperoni and stuff and salad on the side. And it's got over 1,000 calories in one sitting.
The problem is, right? Nobody outside of Middlesbrough knows about it.
Oh, they do. They do. Look at Jules with his French palate.
The big attraction to Middlesbrough is a sandwich.
Yeah.
It's not a sandwich.
That's what it sounded like.
It's not a sandwich. It's a big scallop.
You can't even make up your own mind whether it's pork or chicken.
Aye.
Because that's the great thing. You have the option.
That's a good thing.
You have the option. Yeah.
That's a good thing.
You know what? I bet you'd all love it.
No, I don't like scallops.
Mm. All right.
And that's from a Scotsman. Who eats haggis? Haggis.
Yeah. Exactly.
You don't want to go to Middlesbrough for your. It's not a sandwich.
There's no way you'd rather have haggis. Stevie, this is so much more up your street than haggis. Yeah, right. Anyway, enough of the Middlesbrough hate. Yeah. Jules, seeing as though Don isn't here, what is the percentage that Leo Messi will score against City?
Whoa, I wish Don had been here to show once again his science of mathematics. The interesting thing, really, more seriously, is that Messi has scored 6 goals in 4 games against Pep Guardiola's team. So twice against Bayern Munich, twice against Man City, albeit in 2015 and 2016. So a long time since they haven't faced each other. But he usually does pretty good if you look at those games and those numbers against Pep. So, 50-50 is always the easy one, I guess. But I would love to see Messi score his first goal for PSG since arriving in a game of this caliber against Pep as well, for all the narratives and all the story.
Let me just say, that's a cop-out of a percentage, by the way.
So what would you go
Jules for? Goes, he starts off with, Lionel Messi has scored 6 goals in 4 games, 50-50. What kind of cop-out percentage is that, Jules?
What else do you want me to say?
Hang on, Shaka, have you got it in for Jules because he doesn't like your power ranking?
No, I'm not at all. Okay. I'm not that kind of person.
All right.
I've got a great story for Shaka.
Go on.
No. When somebody says
Saturday,
that, that's what
I'm for Bridge, right?
Right.
I was at Stamford Bridge for the game between Chelsea and City, and behind me were the BT Sport boys, so Rio Ferdinand, Joe Cole and Jolyon Lescott. And we were talking before the game, etc. And then the game kicked off and we were looking, and at some point Edison hit like a diagonal 50 yards right onto Bernardo Silva's foot. And Joe Cole goes, "Oh, what a ball. Imagine Shaka Hislop doing this. He would break his ligaments of his ankle." And I was like, "Whoa, what's going on?"
It's true.
That was so free. So free.
It's true.
All right, Joe Cole.
I wasn't playing that ball.
All right, Joey.
I know, all right, Joe. Leave it out, steady on. Right, Robbo, it sounds like Dan doesn't like Coutinho. Robbo, does it surprise you that 18-year-old kids playing alongside him have a better understanding and decision-making than Coutinho? He's 29 years old now, and he keeps making the same old mistakes again and again. Do you see a future beyond this season for him at Barcelona?
I don't see much of a future beyond this season for him at Barcelona. I think the last couple of games he's done okay. He hasn't looked fully fit. He hasn't always made the right decisions. And Nico played well. Gavi played well. And they were probably better in midfield than Coutinho was. But the crowd gave him a standing ovation. They were getting behind him by the end of the game. He was playing in the hole behind the front two, or Luke de Jong and Memphis Depay. I thought he did okay. But he's not the player he was when he was at Liverpool, that's for sure.
All right. Stevie, I saw this one come in and I'm actually interested to know what you're going to say. Henry York wants to know, what actually are players whispering to each other before a free kick?
Well, if you'd asked me this when I was playing, I would have said they were winding each other up and having a carry on. Because that's what we used to do.
Just as you
with your
teammate?
Or with your teammate?
No, with the boys.
Oh.
It would be. So there'd be 3 of you standing around it.
Oh, so you just pretend?
Well, depending on who's there, it's going to be one of them. Well, you're not taking this. Because there's no way you're going to reach the goal. Or there's no way you're going to smash somebody in the wall, so you're not taking it. And then they'd start having to go back going, well, you shouldn't be taking it either. You should. Aye.
Oh, so it's actually a little argument amongst teams.
No, it's just a carry on. And we all know who's going to take it.
You all know.
Everybody's
already.
Got. The
banter in those days was magnificent, wasn't it?
Aye, it used to go on all the time.
Would you have a similar story like that, Robbo?
If you came walking over, I'd go, what are you doing over here? That's what you would get.
What do you say every time it's me instead of Dan?
And then you'd go, fair enough, and then walk away.
Fair enough. I thought it would be like, it's going to the corner.
Way too serious.
Oh, wow. All right, this one for you then. Shaka, who was the most serious player you'd ever had as a teammate or that you coached? Someone who rarely smiled and approached football as a job. And Jules, they're also going to ask you about a player you covered who was serious all the time. So, Shaka, who was the most serious for you?
The most serious player I've ever played with? That's a good question. I can't...
It's anyone who's just all business.
I honestly can't think of anybody a lot like that, you know? People knew...
Maybe it was you?
...when to switch off. No, it definitely wasn't. Yeah, pretty sure about that. People knew when to switch off.
Right.
That, you know... And you all have that same kind of singular focus when, whether it's training or the games, once it's on, you're on. And then when you're off, you're off. That's a good question. I can't think of anybody else.
You'll be in the shower tonight and you'll be like, that person.
I probably won't be thinking about that. But okay.
I just realised as I said it, probably not. Maybe on your drive home, Shaka. Stevie, was there anyone serious in your squad?
I would say Jay Heaps was so intense. Not that he never smiled, but one of Don's 90% of the time, he was very intense.
Right.
That's the only one I can think of.
Robbo?
Well, we had a player at Arsenal who was, I wouldn't say he was, he took everything particularly seriously, but he was always moaning. Tony Woodcock. If the ball didn't come to him, he moaned. He didn't like training. He didn't like this. So we used to call him Albert Tatlock. And for people that don't know, that's a programme called Coronation Street, where Albert Tatlock was an old guy that used to moan all the time. And that's what the nickname for Tony Woodcock was. I never saw him actually praise anybody else or congratulate anybody else. He only ever moaned. Tony Woodcock.
We had an Albert Tatlock as well.
A guy
called Kevin McDonald. Kevin was the same. Never seen him with a smile on his face.
And everyone had a trigger, didn't they? Out of Only Fools and Horses. A player who wasn't the brightest and the smartest.
Yeah, Trigger was... There was two. There's been two. So... Jason McAteer.
Yeah, I know that he got called Trigger always.
And actually, there was two Triggers at one time at Liverpool because Jones, right back.
Bill?
No.
Rob Jones?
No. Rob Jones.
Rob Jones.
Rob Jones was Trigger as well. And I think the two of them overlapped at Liverpool. So they had two Triggers.
Right. Yeah, see, everyone can answer that one.
Yeah.
Jules, is there ever a player that you've covered that's super serious? Probably more with the journalist, right?
Yeah. Some of the journalists, especially here in England, they're a lot very serious. I like Mathieu Debuchy. He was always so professional, so serious, so focused every time. But usually it's more the other way around than being too serious.
All right, let's quickly give you these next two because they're both for you, Stevie. For Stevie, what is one thing the opposing team does that always ticks you off on the field? P.S. I love you, Stevie.
Oh.
Look at the handle
as well. Love, Stevie.
It's getting emotional.
Fantastic. You know one thing used to tick me off is when somebody kicked the ball away, he used to go bananas. So irritating. And then the referee usually didn't do anything about it.
Well, that's why they did it, so that they would irritate you.
Yeah, that's very few things got to me, but that particular one, kicking the ball away, used to drive me mental.
Secondly, does Stevie own any Bitcoin?
What?
You own
any Bitcoin, Steve?
So there's usually one place you start before you buy something. You've got to know where it is. So I don't even know what. don't know what it is.
If you'd have been in at the beginning, you probably wouldn't be sat here on ESPN MC now, so no.
It's not even a thing. It's not even like, at least you've got gold and you've got money and you got diamonds and Bitcoin's nothing. Nobody knows what it is. It's not you can't turn around and show me, if you've got Bitcoin, you can't say, there it is.
No.
Because it doesn't exist.
But you might be able to show...
It's fresh air.
Okay, so I think the answer to that is absolutely not.
We go with no?
Yeah.
All right. Robbo, what's something that you're glad you didn't have to deal with in your playing days? For example, 24-hour journalism, social media or VAR, anything like that?
Oh, social media. I'm not very good on social media now. In fact, I'm not on it. So to do it as a player, I would have hated that, you know. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, I wouldn't have done that at all. So I certainly wouldn't have said a Fernandez and been apologising for missing a penalty, that's for sure.
I wonder if there are, like, lots of, you know, Stuart Robson pretend accounts, people claiming to be him.
Aye.
Oh, that would be so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just putting it out there.
They'd be all grumpy as well.
Aye.
Arguing with everything.
Okay. Has anyone seen
nice,
Ted Lasso?
That's not very nice,
Robbo. No. Robbo, have you seen Ted Lasso?
So one episode.
No, I haven't. Go on, tell me. Oh, is that the manager, the American manager?
Yeah, the American manager.
Coaching in England.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. I've seen a bit of it, yes.
Yes. So it's a very fun show.
Yeah.
And I'm just asking you guys because I wanted to come to you, Robbo, just because of the Arsenal links. What do you make of Arteta claiming that Ted Lasso has given him inspiration? Is this the craziest source of inspiration you've ever heard from a manager? And let's remember that Ted Lasso didn't know anything about soccer. When he went into it.
Yeah, I think it's what was that other football, the comedy football one, who was meant to be the England manager? Mike Bassett, football manager.
Mike Bassett.
Sounds
like
Arteta might get some inspiration off that as well. If Ted Lasso's giving him inspiration. So I can't. That is a bit madness from Arteta, but give him some praise for once. He did well against Spurs. Got his tactics absolutely right. Let's give him some credit.
I think, you know what, Jules has disappeared. And I think that he just didn't want to answer this question, basically. Okay. All right, Robbo, how was it recording for FIFA 22? What were the best and worst parts? And for your information, considering it's your first year, you've been great.
Ooh.
Oh, only considering it's my first year. That's a backhanded compliment, isn't it, really? Considering it's your first year, you were great.
You're all right. You're not that bad.
What was the best and worst thing? Yeah. Writing the scripts was quite difficult. That took a long, long time. I think the best thing was finishing it. The worst thing was starting it. But no, it's been okay. I've enjoyed it. I think the game's a good game.
They paid him in Bitcoin.
Hopefully, people
like
it.
did you get paid in Bitcoin?
I did it for free just because I love the game so much and that's the sort of guy I do everything for free.
Yeah. Well, I've got one question there. So when we hear you guys on FIFA, a lot of the phrases you've decided yourself when you said writing the scripts, is that right?
Yes. I'm not sure everybody's written the scripts over the years, but I decided that the easiest way for me to do it was to write all the scripts, which probably took me, it was 200 hours of actual voiceovers and probably about 500 hours of writing the scripts. So it was quite
he's saying that now so that his invoice doesn't clash.
Yeah, that's right.
You what? I hope you're getting paid by the hour.
As I said to you, I'm doing it for free, Kate.
All right, for all of you, I'll start with you, Shaka. What's the worst advice you've ever got from a coach or senior player?
I keep coming to me first. I got thinking.
All right, you have a think. I feel like Stevie will have this.
I don't know about the worst advice, but we once did a training exercise when I was at Notts County. And the coach got us all together and said, right, I need you to pair up with somebody. And there's going to be two teams. And one team's going to stand 15 yards one side of the halfway line. And the other side is going to stand 15 yards the other side of the halfway line. There's going to be a ball in the middle. I want everybody to get a number. And when I shout a number, I want to see who gets the ball first. Oh my dear. You want to have seen the treatment room after this. And of course, me being a little bit long in the tooth, I picked the softest guy that I knew wouldn't go anywhere near it. It's my partner on the other team. But I tell you what, some of the young boys, they were standing, they were like that, bulls, getting ready. And as soon as he shouted the number, they went screaming out and smashed each other. It was unbelievable. The treatment room after this training session was jammed. You couldn't get in the door.
Needless to say, but that didn't happen again, right?
Oh no.
Shaka, have you had time to think now?
Yeah. I don't know what bad advice I've been given.
No one's serious in your teams. No bad advice.
No bad advice I listen to. You know what's bad advice.
Right.
So you don't listen to it. I mean, I pass again, Keith.
All right, fair enough. Robbo, what about you?
Well, you know who I'm going to mention, Kay, don't you?
BG.
I had a very good season for Coventry. I just won Player of the Year. I was the captain of the club. And a new manager came in. I'm looking forward to the start of the season. The manager, Bobby Gould, has just taken over, brings me into to his office and says, you had far too much influence on this club last year. I'm going to stop that. You're going to have to try and stop that and only play one touch rather than getting on the ball too much. Not really what I wanted to hear when I was when I just had a good season.
Have you got a dartboard at home with Bobby Gould's face in the middle, Robbo?
It's worn out. It's finished now. The darts have gone in there too often.
All right, the last question is for you, Robbo.
Him and I didn't see eye to eye. Yeah.
We didn't see eye to eye, me and Bobby Gould, diplomatic, I have to say. Which leads perfectly to the next question. Has Robbo ever thought about putting out a series, How to Be a Gentleman?
Oh, goodness me.
How to Be a Gentleman? Not really, no. Is he or she trying to say that I'm a gentleman? Or that I'm just rude and
saying,
obnoxious?
No, I think that they're saying that you're such a gent, maybe you could put out a series on how to teach this lot.
What?
Sorry?
I don't know. I could teach Stevie a thing or two about dressing, maybe, and getting some style.
How dare you?
Shaka, I mean, the ultimate... If they were looking for a new James Bond, it's got to be Shaka, isn't it? I mean, he's the ultimate gentleman. He's suave, sophisticated, tall, good-looking, aggressive Dashing. When he needs to be. He's the man.
Dashing. All right, we've got a bonus tweet.
Thank you.
We've got a bonus tweet.
Uh-oh.
It's from Craig Burley. Apologising for missing a penalty. Get a grip of yourself. Where does it stop? Just get on with it.
Well, he's all skill.
It's fair to say that Craig isn't a fan.
He's not, and he's on the show tomorrow, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more about it.
Oh, you'll be hearing about it.
Well, he's all skill.
Yeah, you will be hearing about it. Make sure you catch him tomorrow, because he's not going to be happy with these lot saying it's okay to apologise for a penalty. Thanks so much for joining us on the latest edition of Extra Time. Craig Burley will be back. Oh, Dan Thomas, don't miss it.